was here last week, so this is going to sound familiar, but a brief intro. Kyle's a member and pastoral resident at Cedar Point Baptist Church in Cedar Park. He's originally from Illinois. He's a U.S. Army veteran. Kyle is pursuing an MDiv at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He is married to Carmen, and they have a 15-year-old son, Logan. Nathan shares his appreciation for Kyle's humility and service to the churches as he has done training at various Austin churches in the Pillar Network. In that way, he is a Pillar Network resident preparing for pastoral ministry. Kyle, thanks again for being here. Marilyn, if you can read our sermon text.
Our sermon text this morning is James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. In your house Bible, it's on page 1012. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Thank you, Saints, for having me back. The church in Cedar Park sends her greetings to you. If you would, our passage is in James chapter 3. If you please turn to James chapter 3, I love it when people are reading along with me. If you're not sure how to get there, go to the back of the Bible. You have Revelation, flip a few pages, and you'll be to James. It's between Hebrews and Revelation. Starting there, James chapter 3, verse 13. While you get there, let me tell you how wise I am. You know those arguments that you have with your spouse where no one's really right? Actually, you're probably both wrong. Oh, just me? Me and my wife were in one of these arguments where I'm not sure what it was for, maybe something about the car, maybe I'd flipped the house around looking for something and couldn't find it. And she lovingly would correct me and guide me into different, she would tell me things and give me hints to steer me in the right direction, but finally she ran out of patience and she said to me, "Kyle, don't act dumb." And I shot back at her, "I'm not acting." And just like that, the argument was over, ending in laughter at me. We all need wisdom, not just to navigate our marriages, but to navigate life. Because sometimes we're dumb. And friends, we're not acting. Let's read together James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. Lord, Father in heaven, we are gathered here today by you to worship your great name. Lord Spirit, Spirit of wisdom, press your words into our hearts. Give us understanding. Help us to encounter your kind, gentle wisdom. Show us mercy. Guard us in our minds. Open our ears. Lord Jesus, we dedicate this time and all of our thoughts in this time to the praise of your great name. Lord, help the preacher and help us to hear carefully the words of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this message today is True Wisdom. True Wisdom. This passage will teach true wisdom is identified by meekness and peacefulness. True wisdom is identified by meekness and peacefulness. We'll walk through this passage in four parts. First, we'll see the test of wisdom, the test of wisdom. Then we'll move on to false wisdom, then to true wisdom. And the fourth point, I'll give you that when we get there. What is wisdom? Who has it? And if you don't have it, where do you go for it? Do you even care to search for wisdom? I would think that you do, because humans are meaning seekers. If something bad happens to us, we want to know, why did that happen? We want to make the best decisions that we can. So where do you go? Do you go to your friends? Do you go to the support group? Or maybe your professor? Or do you retreat into the apps? Do you look for wisdom in a trusted elder? Pray, read your Bible. Some of these examples seem wiser than others, but why? There's a need for wisdom in the Christian life. We've got decisions to make, big ones. How to care for sick loved ones, whether we should report unethical behaviors of our coworkers. Wisdom, getting wisdom, seeking it is important because our God is a God of wisdom, the ultimate source of knowledge. If we, his children, are foolish, this reflects how the world sees our God. He is not a God of confusion. In this passage, we're taught about the unwise and the wise. James, the Lord's brother, is a pastor in Jerusalem. He is writing a letter to believers who are a persecuted church. He is giving pastoral guidance to his readers, a people who are persecuted who need wise counsel. Our passage, James is trying to deal with this question. Who is wise? He wants his readers to know about the comfort that God's wisdom brings. The first point is the test of wisdom. Do you want to find wisdom? Here's the test. Let's look at verse 13. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" It's a challenge. Do you see it? If you say you're wise, prove it. How? Quick question. Anyone wise in here? No? Good, you didn't fall for it. The verse says, if you're wise, show it by good conduct. God's word tells us the wise to show works in meekness of wisdom. It doesn't say to brag about our wisdom. In fact, if you boast, you'll end up looking foolish. James says that the wise need to show it by works done in meekness. Or another way to say it, works done in humility. These are quiet, unboastful works. Things that are done under the radar. That could look like cleaning up around the church, caring for an elderly saint, or babysitting for a sister who could use a date night with her husband. Verse 13 teaches us that wisdom is demonstrated behavior. If you're looking for someone who is wise, their conduct will be pure. Doesn't matter if you have 1 million followers on YouTube or if you're leading the fight in the culture war. Without conduct backing your wisdom, it doesn't matter. When it comes to wisdom, actions speak louder than words. There are things that you do because your conduct matters. That is, if you want to be wise, if you claim to be wise, show your works. If you're doing that, you must guard your character. I'm sure that we have wise saints here today. Their conduct shows that they are wise. Jesus says that you will know a good tree by its fruit. James says something similar. The wise are known by their good conduct. Proud guys love saying that they're wise, but Scripture has a test. God's word says a wise man's works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Do you see that? That person that you're going to for wisdom, if he seems wise but not calm, not kind, not meek, he's not wise. Think of the wisest person you know. I bet you could not think of them acting immorally. How do they show wisdom? The text says, through good conduct, deeds done in the gentleness of wisdom. Jesus says that wisdom is justified by her deeds. Are you wise? No? Then look to humble people. These are truly wise people. This is who James is looking for. He's saying, who is wise among you? Use God's test and find people good with good conduct and humble works and go to them for wise counsel. Wisdom is good. We are made in God's image. And He is a wise and all-knowing God. And we should model His wisdom. The church needs wise women and wise men. But how? Our passage is a test of wisdom. If you make no attempt on the test, you'll fail the test. And you will not be seen as wise. Wisdom does things. Wisdom acts. Inaction is folly. Wise Jesus, He worked. He served others. Do you want to be great, wise? Then serve others. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. True wisdom is identified by meekness or humbleness. And you cannot produce this meekness, humbleness by ourselves. We need help. Now, verse 13 shows us the test of wisdom, and it's teaching us that actions matter more than what is said. Point 2 shows us that wisdom is in the inner life is more important than boasting about it. They say, ignorance is bliss. Friends, it's not bliss. It's harmful. You need to get wisdom. And where you get it matters. You come to my house and you ask me for a glass of water, and I say, no problem. And I scoop it out of the toilet and give it to you. You would be appalled. But if I offered you nice, cold, clean, filtered water with ice, you'd be refreshed. The source of our wisdom, it matters. What is the source of false wisdom? Let's look at it starting in verse 14, where it says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. What is the source of this false wisdom? There is a wisdom, and it's not from heaven. False wisdom. It shows itself in envy and selfish ambition. It's not from above. It's not the real deal. When it comes to wisdom, what's in your heart matters more than what you say. Why do I say that? Look there at verse 14. Where does it say that jealousy and selfish ambition live? Where do they exist? In your heart. In your heart? Yes, inside of you. It lives in the deepest part of you, the core of who you are, in your heart. It's kind of like that horror sci-fi movie where the monster grows inside of the chest of the human, feeding on it and blackening it, the heart, until it bursts out of their chest and attacks their friends. This is how false wisdom operates. In the heart. False wisdom becomes disorder and every vile practice. That's what James says. So the so-called wisdom, if you are the so-called wise, you need to check your hearts. And the heart is deceitful and wicked, above all things desperately sick. Look in your heart for jealousy and selfish ambition. When you find them, don't boast. Don't lie. Verse 13, he showed us true wisdom is done in humility. Now, verse 14, he's teaching us that boasting about false wisdom is denying the truth. So you see the opposites, boasting and humility. True wisdom comes from God above. False wisdom tricks us into thinking that it's true, wise wisdom. But Scripture corrects us. It says, this is not wisdom from above. Where does the false wisdom come from? It's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Are you seeing that in the text? These three adjectives describe the false wisdom. All truth is God's truth. All wisdom is God's wisdom. False wisdom, though, that's not from God. It's from demons. It's earthly and unspiritual. This kind of wisdom might say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Or, nice guys finish last. If it feels good, do it. You do you. Follow your heart. False wisdom is worldly. It's unspiritual, lifeless, and has no power. People with this false wisdom carry every envy and strife in their hearts. Look there at verse 16. What comes from false wisdom? Disorder and evil. How do you know if your desires are off? they produce bad fruit. Others can see it. They can hear it. They can feel it. They can taste it. It's bitter. Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. And similarly, James says, worldly wisdom shows up in disorder and wicked deeds. It's tough to check ourselves. We hide the truth and we suppress it. But we can listen to wise counsel of brothers and sisters. Godly counsel helps. When jealousy and strife are pouring out of us, a wise friend will correct you and say, check your heart. Do your ambitions rule you? If they do, you'll see signs of anger, immorality, despair, maybe even violence, disorder, and every evil practice. That's foolishness. That's not wisdom. It's not harmless. This kind of self-centeredness kills. We have an example played out in Scripture in Genesis 4 when Abel offered his offering and it was accepted and Cain's was not. He could not hide his bitter jealousy and his jealousy turned murderous. So what do you get from false wisdom? Disorder. Every vile practice. But let's examine our own hearts. Ask yourself these x-ray questions. Do you have bitter jealousy? Do you refuse to cheer on your brothers and sisters when they win? Or are you like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son? Do you make passive-aggressive remarks because of your jealousy? This passage serves as a warning because the unspiritual man cannot receive the things of God. Our passage says that if it's not the wisdom from above, it's unspiritual wisdom. Friends, you must know God. If you know Him, you will have humble wisdom and peace in His blessed kingdom forever. If not, you will suffer for your foolishness and lack of wisdom. His justice, His wrath require payment for sin. You cannot ask for pardon or ask for an extension to seek more wisdom after you die. Repent of ignorance, foolishness, and sin now. Go to Jesus. His blood is the payment. Recognize how utterly unlike Him you are. Fear God. This is the beginning of wisdom. He is perfect beyond all measure. And I appeal to you now, be wise. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in Him. You say, I want to be wise. I want understanding. But how? If jealousy and selfishness are in my heart even a little, how do I kill them? Beloved, it is God who establishes us in Christ. He anoints us and He Himself puts His seal on us. He gives us His own Spirit in our hearts. As a guarantee, go to God your salvation. If the Spirit is in your heart, your selfishness, your jealous stone heart will be replaced with a wise fleshly heart filled with divine wisdom. That does not mean that we'll never struggle with jealousy or selfish ambition, and that does not mean that we will always act wisely. But the spirit of wisdom cleanses the believer throughout his or her life. The spirit of Christ is the antidote to the bitterness in your heart. Experts, they say one thing. Doctors say another. Parents, politicians, pastors, they disagree. It's confusing. So what is true wisdom? That's our third point, true wisdom. When we look for wisdom, we need to look wisely. What is the true wisdom? Where does it come from? It comes from above, from heaven. It's divine. Look there at verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. The Bible describes wisdom with these words: pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, sincere. Remember when James is asking, who is wise in verse 13? Let's find wise brothers and sisters like this, that are described like this. James was looking for wise people in churches facing persecution. Saints who live by wisdom can be a blessing and comfort for those in hard times. In verse 17, this wisdom comes from above. It's from God. God's word tells us that true wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Let's pause there. This means that true wisdom starts with purity. A holy, unstained goodness that comes from God. Why is that important? It's important, especially if you want to be wise, because living wisely in this world requires care and harmony for one another. There's often tension balancing purity and unity, but the Bible says that wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Wisdom is peaceable because it is gentle, open to understanding others. What does peaceable mean? Do you find yourself involved in every argument? Do you give your opinion and you must have your opinions heard in every disagreement? That's not wise. A wise person is a peacemaker. In Jesus' preaching, he says that peacemakers will be called the sons of God. Our verse tells us that true wisdom is first pure, then peaceful. Wisdom from above, you don't have to give up your purity to keep peace. Purity comes first above all the other virtues. Our purity comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He cleanses us from impurity and sin. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. True, pure wisdom must be formed in us by Christ. Without Him, we are impure. Without peace, nothing can last. Peace holds people, families, states, countries together. And that's why we need the wisdom from above, because it's peaceful. True wisdom is also humble, but it is pure first and peaceful. So I hope I have sold you on seeking wisdom. Earlier in this letter, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a good promise. Someone said that wisdom from above can only be learned in the school of Christ. And we have peace with God because of Jesus' perfect life. That brings us to our last point, and that is Christ, our wisdom. Christ, our wisdom. True wisdom is marked by peacefulness. What do we gain from this from above wisdom? Let's look there in our final verse. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The harvest comes from peace, made by peacemakers. Notice how the word peace pops up three times in the verse 17 and 18. James is emphasizing peace because following in the next chapter, he is going to be talking about church quarrels. Look at verse 18. What does he describe as being reaped? It's a harvest of righteousness. The abundance of righteousness is the reward from true heavenly wisdom. Who are the sowers of this righteousness? The peacemakers. Those who sow in peace will gather a crop of righteousness. They follow their master, the Prince of Peace, who gave up his body to bring peace between God and sinners. How are we to acquire wise, gentle meekness? Look to the heart of Jesus. It's not full of jealousy and selfish ambition. His heart is meek. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," or meek, "and lowly in heart, and you will find rest," or peace, "for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'll have you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Miss Collette read this passage for us. And I'll have you turn there. And I want to end our time maybe a little bit differently. In celebration of Christ, the true wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus is the exemplar of wisdom. He is true wisdom. And all truth seekers must go to him for wisdom. Here's why. Was there ever a preacher with more wisdom than Jesus Christ? For he taught with authority and people were astonished at his teachings. Was there ever a wiser king than King Jesus? Or even Jesus was greater than the wisest King Solomon. Was there ever a mentor wiser than our master, Jesus Christ? For his words builds wise men's lives like houses on the rock. Was there ever a person who could claim wisdom greater than our Lord Jesus Christ? Because Christ is the very wisdom of God. Was there ever a wiser teacher of wisdom than Jesus Christ? In Christ alone are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Was there ever anyone more worthy of our pursuit of wisdom than Jesus? The Spirit of wisdom aids us to know Christ deeper. Was there anyone more worthy of receiving wisdom than the Lord Jesus? For the angels sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Here is heavenly wisdom, something that seems foolish, the cross. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the Jews demand a sign and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of us were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of us were powerful. Not many of us were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what was low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Beloved, Christ is the ultimate source of true wisdom. Don't boast in false wisdom. Boast in the Lord. True wisdom is marked by meekness and peacefulness. Seek His wisdom. He will save you and guide you to His holy city. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we want your wisdom. You know all things, and we need wisdom from above. We have been fools and lied against the truth. Lord God, you said to ask for wisdom, and you give it generously. Jesus, Master, teach us for our entire lives. Help us to set godly, wise examples as you have. Help us display your excellent wisdom. Lord Spirit, bind wisdom on our hearts and empower us with the wisdom from above. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.